too expensive. We're staying at room 13. Usually Ariana, usually Barry, and that's just how my life goes. And I don't ever try to dress to impress. Fuck you, preppy asshole. From the crowd. Now she's bent the sound of bathroom sink. Her mother would be so proud. Gets on a seat and there's a line to go pee, but the bathroom looks like a war zone.
Welcome in to episode 147 of Fired Up. Check us out at firedupsports.com. I'm your host, Dom Console. With me as always, Chris Uchiha. What's up, buddy?
What's up, guys? What's up, Dom?
Dude, I'm in the nursery this week. The baby's not sleeping in here right now, so you know what? Dude, like, it's a little warm, but like I'm in a rocking chair. I'm sitting comfortably. Like, I mean, I'm on the couch usually, but like this is like a different, you know, different setup for me.
Yeah, dude, you're ready to go. You're, you know, in case she's crying in the middle of the night, you're getting your rock on now.
Yep.
Get the rhythm ready.
Yeah. So. What's going on with you? Anything new?
No, nothing's new. You know what's crazy? When you need a haircut and you know it's time that you need a haircut and you're just like looking, you're like, man, I really need a haircut.
Yeah.
And yeah, I really need a haircut. Dude, I've been waiting for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I feel you, man. I'm wolfing over here. Only so much hair gel could like keep that down. And then by this time it all fades away or evaporates. So like I just scheduled my haircut yesterday for Wednesday, so I'm getting ready to cut it off. So
yeah, I think Thursday I'll go on my day off. Just yep. Pop in, get it cut down, and be good for another 6 weeks.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, I guess we can get into it, right? Definitely want to talk baseball. Obviously, opening day. The season really started last week with the Dodgers and the Padres splitting the series. And that kind of like leads me into what I want to talk about first before we talk about the Phillies opening day. I definitely want to talk about the upcoming season, some different things to talk about. But
you
first things
talk
first.
About Yamamoto getting lit up.
Well, we could if you want, honestly. It's so funny because somebody else that does the show with us actually moved up to the first pick in our fantasy league. I think he did it last Monday, actually, before the show.
Yeah.
For Yamamoto. And I'm as a competitor, you know, I hope he gets lit up this year.
Every game.
No. I genuinely do. I you always want to see these guys play well, but he got it lit up. He got it taken on the first inning, right?
Yeah,
five runs in the first inning.
Yep. Make it past the first.
I do think his fastball is gonna get hit this year.
I
think he's got really good stuff, like other stuff, but I think his fastball mostly is gonna get rocked this year.
Yeah.
He will adjust to, like, he's a good enough pitcher. You don't win three straight Cy Youngs in the second, third best league in the world.
It's absolutely the second best.
Yeah. So like you don't win three Cy Youngs by accident. So I definitely think he's gonna adjust. It's just a matter of like when, you know, that may be in May, it may be June, it may be July, maybe next year. So
yeah, he probably just needs some time to figure out. I mean, the hitters here are obviously the best in the world. I mean, they don't win the baseball classic, but they're obviously the best in the world.
And you also have to take into consideration too, like the Trey Turners and the Xander Bogaerts. It's a good, you know, kind of example because the Padres, but like playing the Padres, but like going somewhere new for the first time, the first year, it's an adjustment. Like, he's not just moving cities, he's moving countries, time zones.
Yeah.
You know. So yeah, I mean, he gets lit up. What was it, second game that he pitched?
Yeah. And it was his first like actual game as a Dodger that
right.
counted for anything.
Right. So, yeah, so they split the series 1-1. But obviously, I wanted to talk about the biggest story.
Wait.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
One more thing before you get into what you want to get
into. Okay.
You see, next year, they're already talking about what the season opener is going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be in Japan, right? Chicago, the Cubs, and the Dodgers.
Dodgers and Cubs.
Yeah.
That's actually a pretty good, because you do get Yamamoto, you get Seiya Suzuki.
Right.
You get
Shohei.
Well, who's the other kid, the pitcher for the Cubs that they signed? That
Iwakuna. Oh, yeah. I forget his name.
I think it was Iwakuna. So you get
something like that. Yeah,
you get like four premier Japanese players in one building. I mean, that's pretty cool. Like you think 2001 probably Ichiro comes over. That was like when it first started, is like that immersion over here from Japan. Yeah. Now we're talking, what's that, 22 years ago, 23 years ago? Now you're talking about
2000, right? Am I too loud or too low?
Yeah, you're good. You're good.
Okay.
You're talking about possibly the best player in the game, one of the highest paid pitchers in the game, and the kid Iwakuma is going to probably be up there. You know, I'm not saying he's going to be top 10, but he's going to be a top pitcher in the game, and then he is a good player. You look at like 01 to now, like Japan's putting out some talent.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I find it interesting too that people are like complaining that like Dodgers get two straight, you know, overseas games that open up the season. It's like you just explained it. Like they're the two teams that have
the most players.
A lot of Japanese players. And like and they're the best roster in the league. Like it's not by accident.
And you're gonna, I mean, MLB could care less. They look at one thing and one thing only, what's going to sell, and that's going to sell. The stadiums over there in Japan hold like 120,000 people in those stadiums. And if you get all of those guys that came from Japan, they're going to sell that stadium out. That's what that's what the MLB cares about at the end of the day. They don't care anything else but that.
It puts more eyes.
You know what I'm thinking, Dom? When does it happen, the switch happen, that baseball players, that like major league teams buy NPB teams and they get sent over there instead of the minor leagues? Like there's a guy that's ready to come up, instead of going to AAA, they go and play in Japan for 2 weeks or start the season in Japan.
That's like a big business thing, right? Like that's like way more than just
it's
baseball, you know? Yeah. Right. And like, I think it could get there, but I think that's a while.
Okay.
Like maybe in our lifetime, I think that could happen possibly, you know, but again, like you're talking about international money, you're talking about a lot of business, you're talking about basically the MLB kind of taking over that league in a sense.
Yeah.
Not necessarily taking over, but like becoming a huge partner and for it to be a stepping stone to get here, like obviously it has to be underneath the MLB in a way.
Yeah.
So could it get there? Sure. But like, I think you're looking at a really long time. Not a bad idea though.
Do you think the NPB is better than AA?
I think it's the second best. I think it's the second best league in the world.
But do you think it's better than AA baseball?
Yeah. It's probably better than AAA.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like you get a guy and you have him over there and you know what I mean? Like you put him over there and you see if they can face major league ready stuff.
I don't know the answer to this, but I'm very curious as to why like more players don't come from Japan.
As far as like Japanese players or like players that go over there and come back?
No. Yeah, as far as like Japanese players like coming here.
So
obviously you're seeing it more and more.
I think that I've watched a documentary on this before. The Japanese game is different than the Major League Baseball game. They're all about sportsmanship over there. It's not so much about winning over there. It's about like playing a good game.
Right.
And like, that's not what America's about. America's all about like they tie in Japan. I don't know if you know that, but a game will end in a tie and like, they're not trying to like destroy each other. They're just trying to like play the sport the way it's supposed to be played. And I also think that Japan teaches their hitters to do the slap hitting, and I don't think that that's very popular in the United States. Like that doesn't draw attention.
It definitely seems like more small ball, because like you look at the guys that come over, you know, Yoshida and Suzuki, like the even Ichiro Suzuki, but I'm gonna take Hideki out of it. I think let's focus more on like Ichiro, Seiya Suzuki, Who did I say?
The kid from Boston. Austin.
Yoshida. Yeah, Yoshida. Yeah. You look at those types of players, and even the Korean, like, they're not necessarily like the power hitting. Like they'll get you 15 homers, but like that's what makes Ohtani like so special. Like he's an alien because like, and I mean this in a very serious way. Like even the biological makeup of Ohtani, like a lot of Asian players are not 6'4", no. You know, 200 yeah. plus pounds, like. And he's pure muscle. Like he's muscle. He's a freak. Like it, and I mean that in a good way. But like that's what I'm saying. Like I think it's so interesting where like he's just a specimen, and like they don't produce as much of that. And I think it's that's the way the game is now. It's like homers and
yep.
and hitting for power. Where like they're much. It seems like much more like small ball over yeah, there.
Absolutely.
Get the ball down the line. Hit it in the gap. You dude, know, did hit, you ever hit and
watch run. Ichiro's Ichiro had like a documentary. You ever see like he said if you wanted him to, he could probably hit 40 home runs a year, but his batting average would be like 220.
Right.
He's like, I could definitely go yard more. You just need to sacrifice my batting average.
Right, right. I find it very interesting. I guess yeah, that kind of answers my question. Like, you know, why does it take for so long for guys to get here, and why do they not come? Like, why do you guys as many guys come over? Yeah. So, but yeah, no, I think it'll be fun next year. The Phillies obviously go to
London.
They play the Mets. So like it kind of seems like baseball is kind of starting to do this. Football, the NFL is like kind of starting to do this a little bit, where like. We're going all over the world to kind of show the rest of the world, like, you know, these are our sports. And obviously baseball played in more places than the football is, but like, I don't know. I think it's interesting. I think it's cool. I think, especially going to London, like they don't really play, they play cricket. Like they don't play baseball. So like, I think it's cool to go over there and kind of show the game to other people.
They have to stay relevant. Like we've talked about it on here before, as much as we love the other four sports and like, we don't even have the union down at the bottom of our ticker.
Right.
But like, soccer is going to become like it's going to.
Oh yeah, we're going 5 for 5 soon. Like yeah, we're pretty close to it.
Soccer might wind up taking over the United States. Like it could wind up going to like
it could
second team, like behind football. It could probably go there.
I think you have to wait a little like a while, because I think that like look at our parents' generation. Like most of them don't watch soccer. They never played soccer. Soccer wasn't a thing. And then you go into our generation where more kids have played, and there's definitely more of a
draw.
Yeah, there's more of a draw. There's definitely more commercial for it. Obviously having two of the probably greatest players of all time, you know, in their kind of leaving their prime a little bit, like in their prime, Ronaldo and Messi. Like I definitely think that our kids would probably, their generation would probably be more into it than we are, while we're more into it than our parents.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So like, I definitely think it will grow, and it'll become the 4 for 4 will kind of slowly become the 5 for 5.
Yeah.
So I think
baseball's trying to do that opposite, where they're trying to get into other markets where it's like, hey, we see what soccer did and how long it took for it to get immersed into the United right. States. So let's try and start now.
Yeah.
Like getting it out there.
I definitely think that, I can't remember if we talked about it on the show a couple of weeks ago or not. It might've just been me and Mike, or it might've been you and I, or all three of us, but, and it may not even have been on the show, but just how much baseball has changed the last like 4 or 5 years. Like,
yeah,
listen, COVID was horrible. I hated it just like everybody else. But it brought us two great things in the sports world. One, Tyrese Maxey, because if he played that March Madness tournament, he's definitely going closer to 10 than he is to what they pick 21. That's one. And two is it sped up the changes for baseball. Like eventually baseball yeah. was going to get there, but it sped everything. Bases got bigger, the steal rule, the pitch clock,
the DH.
The DH in both leagues was huge. Like that's something like people like want to argue. Like the old baseball people, like old timers that like just love the National League. The pitcher, like, get the fuck out of here with that. Like, yeah, who wants to watch a pitcher hit?
And American League didn't start that until 1995 anyway. So it's not like that always existed. Like,
right. And right. And then you had the what was that, like 97 or 98 when the leagues finally interleague play started.
Yeah. Before that, made it better baseball, and it's just going to continue to evolve to make it better.
And it kind of was an unfair advantage for a long time. And I was somebody who was always, I think both leagues should do the same thing, whether that's the pitcher hits for both leagues or the DH. Obviously, and then the DH came, and I was like, all right, I'm in to try it. Like, which with a lot of these rules, like I think every rule that MLB has made, I've been like, let me see how it works, and if I like it, and I've liked everything. At least so far, but I was definitely always, you know, they have to do one thing, and I was happy they went with the DH for both leagues. But I was like, let's just see how it goes, and I think it's been a success so far. It's made more people watch. The pitch clock has made more people watch.
Dude, the only thing that I have the issue with the pitch clock is this is really the only thing I have is that normally you would go to a game and how long would it last? 3.5-4 hours.
Yeah.
So you'd go there. You're paying for 3.5-4 hours of a game. Your ticket costs $50, but you're getting 4 hours of entertainment. Now you're getting 3 hours of entertainment for the same price.
Sure.
So like, that's something where I think, even though I do think baseball out of all four of the sports in the city is the most reasonably priced game to go. You could still go to the 400 levels for $25 and get in the game.
Yeah. I definitely see what you're saying. I being at a game before the pitch clock and after the pitch clock, I don't find there to be too much of a difference. I think there's more of a difference at home, which I like. I like it quicker on my couch. I don't find it as much of a difference in the game than I do with it or before and after. Personally, I understand that, and I understand people are upset. Like, you can't go run and get a beer. I get it. I'm not that person, but like I understand. Like, but I just think just like the players who had to adjust, like going from spring training and the first month of baseball last year, because it was last year, right?
Yeah, it was hard.
It was hard. It was a hard adjustment. Like, but by July they figured it out. And that's the same thing with the fans that go to games that want to buy beer and want to get up and go to the bathroom and things. You'll figure it out. Like go in a little bit earlier, get a couple beers.
Yeah.
And you sit down
a couple at a time, but you'll figure it out.
Right. Right. You'll adjust. But that's just a personal thing. Like, I understand completely where people are coming from. It's just, I'm just not that person that goes to a game and buys 5 beers and, you know.
Yeah. Dude, so. And the best thing that's really helped out the sports, honestly, is the gambling.
Sure. Like,
the being able to live sit there and say, man, Schwarber's going to hit a home run right now. Let me put $10 on it.
Yeah.
So, like, that's definitely helped out all of the sports. Like, that quick live in-game, man, if he hits this home run right now, I just put $5. I'm going to walk out here with $250. I think sports betting, when it's done correctly, helps the sports tremendously.
Oh, 100%. And even if it's not done correctly, because people have the itch, like I lost this time, but like I'm going to get them next time. Like, people don't stop gambling when they lose. So like, I completely agree. It's really helped all the sports. I totally agree. And it's so funny because I love that's what I loved about playoff baseball. Like you're watching the game, but like every game for the Phillies, watching the playoffs, I threw a parlay on something.
Phillies. Yeah, of course.
I threw a parlay, or I bet the game, or
it makes people tune in more.
Yeah,
because like you actually have something to lose. Like before, if you're sitting at home and you're watching Sunday night baseball and it's Toronto and Oakland, I'm not putting that on because we're in the world. But you put a $10 bet on a parlay on it. Now you're tuned in for it.
For
sure. You care about what's happening.
Dude, I had this in the playoffs. I would always do strikeouts. So I would probably take like today was Nola. Like I would do Nola 5+ strikeouts. I would do like Schwarber to hit homer, Trey Turner to have a hit, and like Bryce to have an RBI or something.
Yeah,
something like that. Like, and you parlay that together, and like you're just rooting for it the whole game. It makes it even more fun. So I totally agree. So speaking of gambling, I guess that can kind of transition to our topic, which I'm excited to talk about. Obviously, the biggest headline in sports right now, and we talked about him a little bit earlier, Shohei Ohtani. This whole like story that's going around about his translator. Okay, yeah, I knew it was a trans something. Translator. What do you think about this situation? Because I've seen so many stories. I've seen conspiracies. I've seen things that make sense. I've seen things that don't make sense. I've seen things that I think aren't real. You know what I mean? Like, where's your head at on this?
The only thing that I have is that a lot of people are saying, like, they were betting, like, for Shohei Ohtani. Like, he was betting for Shohei Ohtani.
In terms of what?
Putting in like over on strikeouts or under on strikeouts, or
but what I mean is putting in for him, or
that's what the guy was putting bets in for Shohei. Like that's what I've heard.
In him, you mean Shohei was saying to his translator, put this in for me in your name. Okay, yeah. I didn't know if you meant like he was betting on Shohei, because this is something that I've seen, him betting on Shohei to, have six strikeouts or whatever it is.
Here's my whole issue with it, where I do think that like some stuff's going to come out about it, but Shohei Ohtani won the MVP last year, right? So, and he was an amazing pitcher. You can't guarantee that you're going to go up there and have three hits. You can guarantee you're going to go up there and strike out three times.
Right.
And that's why I think like, he was not betting on himself or putting prop bets in on himself.
Okay.
Because that's so hard to do, to bet over on hits, because you can't guarantee you're going to get a hit. You can guarantee if you're going to strike out four times that game.
Right. So, but how do you know that they didn't bet on that to bet strike out?
Because if he did, they'd be losing a ton of money.
Right. But if you're betting on the fact that Shohei is going to strike out three times,
well,
how
right.
would you lose money?
If I mean, you would, if he struck out three times. Yeah. But what I'm saying is he had an MVP season.
True. No, I totally, I don't disagree with you. I think happened was, okay. So here's the story. If anybody doesn't know, I guess it was after the second game in Korea against San Diego. Later that day, there was news broke that his translator, who's his best friend, who he took over from the LA Angels to the LA Dodgers, was apparently stole $4.5 million to sports gamble, and apparently Shohei had no idea. The Dodgers.
No. That the first story was that Shohei gave him the money.
No, I thought that was the conspiracy.
I thought the first thing that broke was that Shohei gave him the $4.7 million.
No, it's he stole the money. Yeah, it was that he stole it.
Out. I thought the stealing came out after when they
stole it. I thought it was the other way around.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
I'm going to look it up while we're talking.
Okay. So whether he gave him the money or stole the money, one of those stories came out, and then the other came out after. That it was like 4.5 or 4.7 million. You might be right, actually. You might be right. It might be that he gave it to him, people went crazy, and then they said, no, he actually stole it.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
I think so, that's what happened.
So then it was a whole idea, which makes it even fishier. But yeah,
ton more fishier.
Then it comes out that he steals the 4.5 or 4.7, whatever it is. And the Dodgers wind up releasing him because he is paid through the Dodgers organization. Apparently Shohei had no idea, which I think is also crazy. You have no idea. And I understand people that have a lot of money they pay people to handle their money. But like, it's not $40, you know.
Exactly. And how did he get his hands on your bank account?
Right. So the Dodgers release him. And basically the whole weekend you see conspiracy after conspiracy.
Department of Justice gets involved. Yeah,
meme after meme. I think my favorite meme, I think, was Shohei shouldn't go to prison. They should just send him back to the Angels. That should be his punishment.
I like the one that it said breaking news on the Shohei Ohtani situation. We're going to go live on ESPN Bets from ESPN Bets Casino.
Yeah.
Ken Rosenthal live from Parks Casino.
Yeah, the FanDuel. Yeah, yeah. The FanDuel Center. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, that's the thing we were talking about earlier. Just kind of like it's so prevalent in sports now. It's like it throws up, like it's throwing up. It hits you in the face with all this gambling. So like, you know, and then we also, sports gambling is illegal in 3 states, and one of them is California. So yeah. Like, you're not just talking about, because like, look, listen, as long as the way that I feel about it, and I've always thought about it, as if he's gambling, I don't care. As long as it's not on baseball, even if it is in California, it is what it is. Obviously, it's illegal, but like they're not going to reprimand him in any way other than probably fines. And like, as long as he's not gambling on baseball, like, what do I give a shit?
But at the same time, why should he not be allowed to gamble on baseball? Are you talking about Ohtani or his?
Yeah, Ohtani.
Okay.
If it is Ohtani, I'm saying.
Okay.
If it is Ohtani.
Okay, because I was gonna say, like, what about Ohtani's brother? He can't put bets in on
the his brother. I think his brother would be fine, but the translator definitely shouldn't be able to either. Even though he has no effect on the actual game, I know people that like work for companies that I know somebody who works for the Flyers who's not, and they do nothing with playing, coaching, management, nothing like that. They're not allowed to gamble on NHL, any of the NHL.
Really?
Yeah. It's like in his he just signed a contract. That okay. And basketball, he's not allowed. So like,
probably work at the Wells Fargo.
Right. So like, you know,
insider information.
Yeah, exactly. And I understand the translator. If he's betting on baseball, then it's a real problem. And the Dodgers did what they were supposed to do, and they got rid of him. I don't know what to believe. I don't know.
Did you see Shohei came out today?
Yeah, I have some stuff that I wanted to talk about with what he said. I have it right here. So basically, like the spark notes, I guess you want to call it, the cliff notes are basically, he came out and said that his translator, who's also his best friend, came out and he's a liar and he stole his money. But like, how is he able to get into access, like, how is he able to steal your money? Yep. Two, somehow he accessed Shohei's accounts without him knowing.
Yep.
And lastly, he didn't realize that we already talked about this. He didn't realize $4.5 million was missing.
Him or his accountants, because he definitely has accountants.
Until after a team meeting, by the way.
Yeah.
So like, I don't think personally, I don't think that Ohtani was saying, here, let's put a parlay on this. Let's put fucking $3 million on this and parlay it with that. I don't think that was happening. I think he knew what was happening and didn't help his friend. Whether it's a real problem, whether it's just for fun, I think he knew what was going on. I don't think it was him. And that's still a problem.
Now, if it all comes out that the translator put $4 million on the Super Bowl, do you care anymore?
No, but it's a problem because if it happened in California.
Right, absolutely.
But I don't care about that.
Okay.
Personally.
Okay. So if it came out that it was a football bet,
No.
At that point becomes like for a local court to figure out, not you to worry about anymore.
Correct.
Like all of your focus on it goes away. You don't care about it anymore. What happens? Okay.
As long as he wasn't doing anything to this game, and even at that point, like, you know, it's not that I care, but like, he shouldn't do it. But like, he's the best player in the world, and like, you really like, how are you going to reprimand the best player in the world, the guy that's changing the game?
Floyd Mayweather puts bets all the time,
right? And I'm sure a lot of guys do.
Yeah,
like Calvin Ridley, who somebody placed a bet, you know, about him going to the Titans. And there was a huge bet. I didn't even see that. I don't know if it was like 10 million, but it was like close to it. There was like, or somebody won 10 million or something. It was like the 8th best odds or something, or 7th best odds for him to go to the Titans.
Dude, do you see that every year during the Super Bowl, there's a bet, will somebody streak on the field?
Yeah. And then did you see the guy that did it?
The guy that did it.
Yeah.
Like you won millions of dollars. I mean,
he put like 10 grand on it or something.
Yeah. Like, and it like won something like $3 million or something like that. So I think that's money well spent.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So
it's a business move.
If it's not MLB, but he was betting on Japanese baseball, you're good with that too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But So that's the thing. It all comes down to, again, like I said, I don't give a shit that it's California, you know, that he's doing it in California, but that's.
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what the Department of Justice.
The first thing.
Sorry, Dom, you're like going in and out a little bit.
Oh, am I?
Yeah, just a little bit. You're fine now, but.
Okay.
Just like slow down a little bit. I didn't hear what you said.
I didn't say anything. I think I was just making a dumb face, like, just, and I wasn't saying anything.
I mean, with the Department of Justice involved now, I mean, somebody's going to, they're going to find something out.
Yeah,
the question is, like, did this guy go to Shohei and say, like, hey, dude, throw me under the bus. Like, I'm your guy. You're my guy. Just, you can fire me. We're done. Here's a non-disclosure. I'm going to sign, you know, we're done. Here's 10. I'm going to give you 10 million for like not saying anything, and here's a non-disclosure.
And also, like, I don't know that like gambling that much. I mean, maybe I'm just stupid, but like, I don't know that gambling that much because I don't know how much he did gamble. Like, I don't know if you gamble $10 million, it means you're like an addict. Like that people are like saying, like, if you consistently bet millions of dollars, like, yeah, okay, maybe you have a problem, but we don't know how much he's bet. So like,
yeah,
this whole idea
could have been one bet.
Right, like this whole idea that
$5 million bet.
This whole idea that, like, you know, he's this gambling addict, and then there's these people that say, like, the other side that says, like, oh, he doesn't like other sports, and like his former teammates have come out and said, like, you know, he doesn't talk about any other sports, which doesn't mean shit.
Yeah.
But like because like I've gambled on sports that I don't watch. Like,
yes.
You know. So I there's just so much going on, and like. I'm fascinated by it, and it comes at the perfect time, like literally the week of the season opens up. So,
yeah, I mean, do you think that these stories are like purposely put into place by mass media for attention?
Sure, like it happens. Absolutely.
Like, do you think like somebody found out before Korea and said like, hey, we're gonna break this story. At this point, it's going to be good for the game of baseball for publicity sake.
I think it's definitely possible. It's also the idea that he was on the bench next to Shohei and like 4 hours later broke. Like, you could say like, okay, yeah, you're right. Like they plan it. You can also sit there and say like, he was like, Ohtani knew the entire time and just like, you know,
or you could say
there's just so many things.
I did. The guy was blindsided.
Yeah. That's the thing is, like, I'm not ruling out the fact that, like, Shohei did it. And, like you said earlier, like, his best friend's kind of just taking the fall for him. But, yeah, there's just so much going on. And, like, you know.
The only thing, like, and, like, I'm not super into this kind of stuff, but, like, Japanese culture is all about, like, honor and integrity.
Yeah.
Like, they, like, really are, like, that's a huge part of their culture. I don't know if Ohtani would lie.
I'm not going to say he wouldn't lie, but like, he's been here long enough now. He's been here since what, 2017? Like,
yep.
Like, money, temptation, like, that's a real thing. And like, money changes people, and like,
just signed
fame changes people.
How much did he just sign? 700 million?
Yeah.
What is 4 million in the grand scheme of it, of 700 million?
Well, also, too, to actually back that up even more, how much he's got from endorsement deals.
Of course. He's got to be rolling in it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Jordan was addicted to gambling himself. So, I mean, but he was actually addicted to, like, card games and stuff like that.
Right, dice.
Betting. Yeah, I don't think he was betting on stuff. Did you see the video of Pete Rose today?
I saw that there was a video. I didn't see it though.
Yeah, he said basically all I had to do was say I had an interpreter.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be in the Hall of Fame.
There were memes too this weekend. It was like him with a younger woman. It might even be his wife. I don't even know. But like a younger woman who's of Asian descent, and like basically like, is that all I had to do?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. But yeah, so that's kind of the situation right now. Really quick, we have a comment here. Where's Mike? I killed him. He's no longer alive. No, I'm just kidding. He's out sick this week, so he's a little under the weather. But we're holding it down. So, we got another one here, my boy Shay. It was Yamamoto all.
Yeah, I mean, so he probably put the bet in on over 5 runs in the first inning.
yeah, right.
Killed it. You know what's weird? That nobody has gotten to the interpreter yet. Like,
yeah. Well, didn't he do it in the ESPN interview?
Did he? I haven't seen anything like that.
I thought that it was like a weird interview too. Like his responses were like kind of strange, which like, of course, like, and it doesn't matter if it was or wasn't strange. Like people are going to twist it like, oh, you know, it's what he said was weird. And like, he didn't answer it the right way. And like this, that, and the other. And it's like, of course you're going to twist it that way. Cause you want the conspiracy.
Yeah.
But, I read something where like, it was like an interview style, like them asking him like, you know, is this true? Did you steal it? Yep, I did. Blah blah blah.
Oh,
I also find it fun. Yeah, I also find it funny too that apparently he said he went to a university, and the university came out and said that we have no record that he actually went here. Did you see that too?
No,
it was somewhere on the West Coast. I want to say it was like Grand Canyon University, but like they're in my head because they were just in the tournament. But it's like one of those like small like.
Online universities.
Yeah, like one of those like Division III like schools. So I find that like really funny. It's like somebody was like, he's one lie away from going to prison.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating story.
Very interesting, and it's definitely gonna follow Ohtani for this season.
Did you watch this
season?
Yeah.
And they're gonna blame it all on this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He has a good season. They'll talk about it. Oh, was he involved in it? Like this will carry on the whole season.
I genuinely do hope that it does not affect him. And because I love Ohtani. I think he's the best player in the world. I also have a bet that he has the most homers in the league. So I do.
If he gets suspended, it probably gets voided. At least you get your money back.
I don't think so.
Oh, really?
It's the same thing as like him getting hurt, right? Like,
yeah,
sure. I would think. I guess that's the gamble you take, right? What was I saying here? I genuinely do hope like everything does come out, the truth does come out, and I hope that it's, you know, he wasn't betting on baseball, and he, you know, yeah. So, sorry, I was just reading this.
What is that comment?
Yeah, that's what I was reading. I haven't even read it. I'm just going to show it. Do you think that Rex Ryan's photo of his wife's feet on his desk left a lasting impact on the Eagles that could impact them? Now we got trolls.
Oh, man.
We spelled fired wrong.
Yep, you're right.
Hey, guys, do you realize you spelled fired wrong? No, I didn't, jerk off.
It's probably Mike. It's Mike at home.
Probably. Her name's Ellie K. That's a dumb name. it's spelled. Wait, she said it's spelled with an F. Thanks, Ellie.
Ellie, you've been a wonderful fan. Thank you.
Yeah, I just what would we do without you, Ellie? I just love these trolls, but I don't think that Rex Ryan's photo of his wife's feet on his desktop left a lasting impact on the Eagles that could impact them. No, I don't. But yeah. Anyway, let's start talking about the Phillies here. I'm just reading these comments. They're really funny. Yeah. All right. So let's take a look at the Philly season. Obviously, the season starts Thursday. I kind of want to do something cool because we've been talking about the last like few weeks. I kind of wanted to go over our predictions, our projections, whatever you want to call them, for the Philly superlatives. So I just have a couple like things here. I want to get your opinion. I'll give you mine. We'll kind of make predictions.
When you sent this to me, I was like, man, I don't know where he's going, but I'm pretty excited about this.
Okay. So first off, I'm gonna give a category, and we're just gonna name the guy that we think could fit this category for this season. So let's just start off with the big one, MVP. Who's gonna be the MVP for the Phillies this year?
The easy answer here would be Bryce Harper. That would be the easiest answer. Okay. But I want to go a little different here. Like, I think I want to go. Trey Turner. I think Turner is going to be the guy this year that I think he's going to be more consistent. Even though I really, really, really want to say, like, it's of course going to be Bryce Harper, but I think it's going to be Trey.
Okay. It looks like Shea kind of agrees too. Trey and Slaughter are going to be stepping up this season. So I'm going to go Harper because I genuinely think that with a full season, you get a full season fully healthy.
Is he though?
What do you mean?
Dealing with some back injuries already.
I think it's just stiffness. I genuinely, and he's back already. He played the last couple days. I think it's just precautionary.
You know what somebody said about him? He swings the bat so hard that's probably why he torques his back. Because of how hard he swings the bat.
It could be. But I'm going to go Bryce because I just genuinely do think with a full healthy season, he is that team. He is the city. So I just think that he goes, the team goes. I'm going to go with the easy answer. I'm going to go Bryce. Okay. Let's get your opinion on who's going to win the batting title for the Phillies this year, the best average.
Bryson Stott.
Okay.
Yep.
I originally had him, but I went with somebody else.
I think Stott is going to be, it depends on where Topper bats him, right? I think that's going to make a huge impact on him. I guess he's going to bat two.
Everything I'm seeing is fifth.
Fifth.
Projected fifth.
Okay.
So right now the projections are Schwarber, Turner, Harper, JT, Stott, Boehm, Castellanos, Marsh, Rojas.
Okay.
And that's just a projection. I don't know what they're going to do.
Stott has put on a ton of muscle and
he's a dad now.
He's a dad now. Yeah. He's matured a little bit. And I think last year, what did he bat last year? Like
280.
Yeah. I think he's going to be I hope 290, 298, somewhere between 290 and 300. I think that's where he's going to be. I don't think he's going to hit the home runs, and I don't need him to hit the home runs. The only problem is, though, and I know me and you get into this all the time because you're very much old school baseball, where in your mind you think if he's batting fifth, he should probably have 90 RBIs, right?
I would like it to be that way, but I know that it's not that way.
You are so good with that stuff. You're if you're a number four hitter, you got to have 40 home runs.
Yeah, I wish it was that way, but that's not the league anymore, and I get that. I know that Stott's not going to have 90 plus RBIs. I know he's not going to hit 30 homers, 25 homers. I just know that's not and this team's not built that way. So as much as I am somebody who's like that, where I wish my four hitter was a 40 home run guy, I wish that Boehm had more power. I wish that he wouldn't, I wish he would pull the ball more. I definitely am still in that old school mindset, but I also love that Schwarber leads off.
Yeah, you do love that.
Which is ideally he's probably a four hitter in this lineup. So I understand as long as you're getting power within the first four, you get two in the first four that are have all the power, then that works for me. I'm fine with JT hitting fourth, who's probably not a four hitter, is probably more of a five hitter.
Traditionally. Yep.
And obviously they didn't go out and get a power right-handed bat like they probably needed, but Yeah, no, I think Hernandez, Teoscar Hernandez, would have been the perfect guy here.
Yep.
Outfield, corner outfielder.
Yep.
Right-handed power bat.
It's a ton of fourth, homers.
Fifth. Yeah, he'll give you 25, 30 homers. And I don't think he signed for that much, so like it kind of sucks. It's a 1-year deal, so maybe you see him next year. But like,
yeah,
that would have been ideal for me. But like, I understand where the league is going and as it has gone. It just kind of doesn't, you know, your four hitter doesn't need to hit 40 homers anymore.
Yeah,
their leadoff hitter does it. So
yeah.
Who's
your batting title champ?
I'm gonna go with who you went with MVP. I'm gonna go Trey.
Okay.
I think Trey hits over 300 this year. I think he comes up big. I think he comes back to form to what he was at the end of last year and the years prior.
Okay.
So, next up we're gonna do. I think this is gonna be the easiest one. Home runs. Who's gonna lead the league? Who's gonna lead the team in homers?
I'm gonna go Harper. You're gonna go Schwarber though.
Yeah. I don't know that Schwarber hits another like because like, what did he hit last year? 47.
Was it 47 last year?
And then, or it might have been 46 and then 48 the year before.
Yeah.
Regardless, I don't know that he goes 3 straight years or 45 plus, but I definitely think he hits 35, 40.
The only thing that scares me with Schwarber is that he hit 47 last year.
Okay.
Yeah, you can figure out how to pitch to him, or you could walk him. And just set up a double. You know what I mean? He's more of a liability on the bases than he's going to help you.
Yeah, I just like the fact that he leads off one time a game. And that's why he walks so much is because he's so dangerous with the home run, especially since coming here. Like, he's had 2 career home run years. I think that it's very important to have him in the leadoff spot because you have guys like Brandon Marsh and Nick Castellanos, who can get on base at the bottom of the order. Let's say Castellanos hits seventh and he leads off. He gets on. Marsh gets on. It's first and third. Let's say Rojas pops out. It's one out. And you have a guy on first and third and Schwarber's up with one out. Like,
pitch to him.
Right. Yes. So, I think that's important. And I think that because he gets the most at-bats on the team, like he's going to have the most at-bats if he leads off and he plays all year. I just think he's more of a chance to hit homers, but I think he's in that 35 to 40 range this year. I think he takes a little bit of a step back. I hope he hits close to 50 again. I'll take it. But I think him and Harper are close. I do think Harper hits 35 and I think Schwarber hits 40.
Okay. Fair.
I also have the overs for Harper's homers this year.
What is
31 and a half, I think, or 30 and a half. I forget what it is.
That over.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I could do an alternate, honestly. I would do like 35.
Yeah.
So you got Bryce, I got Kyle. All right, next we're going to do RBIs. Who do you think leads the team in RBIs this year?
Why don't you go first here?
I think I'm going to go Bryce because I think that's what helps him be the MVP. I think he's a 3 hitter. I think that, like I said, the bottom of the order is so good at getting on. It gives the guys at the top of the order, you know, a chance to hit these guys in.
Yeah.
And I think him and Schwarber are going to be close. Schwarber had over 100 RBIs last year. I think he had 102.
104.
Okay. Yeah. It's the first time in his career with over 100. Harper's only ever had it twice. But I think he comes because I think he's got an MVP year. I also
me too.
So did I might have told you last week or the week before. I had a free $5 bet.
Yeah.
So I fired in Harper plus 1200.
Yeah.
So I'm riding with it, man. I think he has over 100 RBIs this year. As long as he stays healthy, like I think it's his year.
I'm gonna go with Harper too. Then
okay,
that's where I was gonna go. I feel like I keep picking him for a lot of things.
But he's a top 10 player in the world. Like he's the guy. Like I genuinely do think for a while Jimmy Rollins was my favorite Philly ever. I think Harper's taken over.
Okay, I mean, and you still got 8 more years of him, or
right? I also think he's a World Series away from being the best ever.
Really?
Yeah. I think if he wins. A World Series, and he's a big part of it, and which he probably will be. He has to be, right? Like, I genuinely do think he passes Schmidt, like, as the greatest Philly ever. Because Schmidt's only got one. Well, think about it, right? So I think Schmidt has three MVPs. If Bryce gets one more MVP, gets a World Series, yes, he doesn't have the homers. Yes, he doesn't have the RBIs. But, dude, like, the dude is money in the playoffs. Like,
Schmidt is the greatest third baseman.
He is. No, he absolutely is. But if you look at it, like, Schmidt was not this much money in the playoffs. Like, it's especially as a Philly, like, with Harper. Like, I think it's close, but I do think Harper edges out.
Okay. I'm going to stay with Schmidt there until Harper shows different, which I think by the end of his career he could. I don't think one World Series win puts him ahead of Schmidt for me.
No, but I think a World Series, I guess I'm assuming that the World Series comes with an MVP, another MVP, and
yeah,
more stuff. Like I was looking at it today, actually, with Shay, who's been commenting on our stuff today. I think he's never going to get to 1,600 RBIs in his career, I don't think, because he's at 8-something right now. Another 8 years, I don't know that he gets to 800 more RBIs, but I think he'll get to that 12 to 1,300. I think he'll get over 400 homers. He's at 306.
Yeah. He might get into the 500 range.
He could. It's going to be tough.
200 for 8 years? What's that?
I don't know. I'm not the math guy.
25 home runs a year?
For the next 8 years is tough.
Okay.
Especially like you said, like the way he swings could, you know, hurt his back more. Things I could it happen? Absolutely. I just don't know that it happens. I don't know that I feel like he's gonna hit 25 homers the next 8 years. Could he have a season where he hits 35, 30, 22, 25, 28? Sure. But like I just think the end of that contract, you kinda maybe not a Miguel Cabrera where he's like totally like hanging off a cliff,
yeah,
by a finger. But you kind of have to assume from, you know, previous players that like those last 3 years are probably not going to be, you know.
I think the quicker that you're able to transition him into a DH, I think the longer his career will be.
I agree with that, and him going to first really helps too. But yeah, and do I think he could be great at the end of his career? Yeah, like absolutely. Like if anybody could do it, it's him. Like he came back from Tommy John surgery, the quickest guy ever, position player ever. Like, so if anybody could do it, you know what? He's gonna hit 500. I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in. 200 for the next 8 years. I'm in.
There you go.
All right. So you have who did you have for RBIs? Bryce.
Harper.
Okay. All right. Next, we're gonna go hits. Who's gonna lead the team in hits?
Turner.
Yeah. I agree mainly because I have him having the best average.
Yeah.
Which usually means, you know,
yeah,
most hits. But yeah, no, I agree. We've already kind of talked about him, you know,
yep,
having that bounce back.
Yep.
Runs scored.
I got to see like where we're at. RBIs, so Harper, I'm thinking it's going to lead the RBIs. I'm going to go with Turner.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to go Schwarber only because of the homers and he leads off and he walks a lot. He's probably going to have the highest on base percentage again. Like, so I just think analytics tell you, not analytics, but like stats tell you that, or numbers tell you that if you're on base more, you probably tend to score more. And I think Schwarber, you know, kind of stays on base the most.
Okay.
All right, let's go to pitching. Cy Young, who's going to be the Phillies Cy Young? Or be the best pitcher on the Phillies, really?
Wheeler.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that I'm actually talking myself. You guys know I'm not a huge Aaron Nola fan. Mm-hmm. I am talking myself more into him. But I do think Wheeler's that guy.
Okay. I think Wheeler is a top three National League pitcher. I think he's a top five pitcher in the league. The only reason I'm going to go Nola is because simply for the fact that it was first day of pitchers and catchers and a bird shit on him. And that means good luck.
Okay.
And his odds went down a little bit that day for Cy Young, so which kind of tends to tell you like Vegas liked them a little bit more
that day.
Yeah, right. It's crazy how that happened. So yeah. I think it's in the stars. I think Nola is in the top five in Cy Young this year.
Okay,
I'm gonna go for it. I know it's really hard to do at, and from his past, from showing what he was the last few years, like you tend not to like. You tend to kind of be that, to continue to be that guy. So like, and he's, he hasn't really, he I is mean, absolutely.
So if anybody could do it, it's going to be him. Yeah. Like he could be, I think he's more likely to be in the top five Cy Young than Wheeler. But I do think Wheeler is the, like, I think he's either boom or bust for me. Nola.
Okay. And then we'll stick to pitchers, strikeouts. Who's going to lead the team in strikeouts?
Wheeler.
I'm also going to go Nola here because I think Nola's more of a strikeout. The last few years, he had over 200 strikeouts consistently. Yes. So
I'm going to stick with Wheeler.
Okay. It's funny because it, again, like analytics show you or the numbers kind of show you that Wheeler usually goes longer in his outings. So that shows you that like he probably, the odds are that he probably is going to get more strikeouts than Nola.
Yep.
I just think Wheeler's too much of like a ground ball pitcher. He does get his strikeouts, don't get me wrong. But I think he's more of like a soft contact hitter, gets ground balls. Where Nola's more of a he's going to strike you out. He's going to strike you out or they're going to hit one to Live Casino.
Like yeah.
It's one or the other.
Yeah, with Ohtani's translator in there.
Yeah, right.
Firing and Betson.
Yeah, so I think that's all I had for pitching. And then I have a couple
what about
more...
wins? What about wins?
Oh, wins. Yeah, we could do wins. Tyon Walker. No. Because I think he led them in wins the last year, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, 14.
I'm going to go Mr. Ranger Suarez here.
Okay. All right. You know what? I'll go with that, too. I like that.
I really like Ranger this year. I think he
Did you take him in fantasy?
Yeah.
In our league?
No, I didn't.
I was sick. So I think he, and I not that anybody really cares, but I think that I think it was like the eighth or ninth round. I was eyeing him up, and I'm like, I really want Ranger. Like, but he went like the eighth or ninth round. I'm like, yeah, it's probably a little too high for my taste. But I wanted him bad,
dude. I really really like him. There's something about him that like he screams Philly too.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, no, he's got, I don't talk about men's balls too much. I'll talk about Rangers balls.
Dude, I watched a video where they talk that he is the most composed pitcher at all times.
Yeah.
Like a ground ball that some guys will run to and hurry up and have to throw it over to first. He takes his time and just like
2 years ago he should have won the Gold Glove. But he didn't have enough innings pitched.
Yeah.
Well, he was hurt.
I did like read an article that said the fielding Bible is probably worth more for defensively than a Gold Glove. Like the fielding Bible, when it comes down to like the statistics that they look at to give the pitcher that, it's harder to win that than it is to win the Golden Glove.
Okay.
So I like him. I think he's on an arbitration contract this year, right?
Arbitration is usually year three, right? So, what's he in year five?
I think he just went to arbitration.
I'm sorry, it's 4, 5, 6, right?
Yeah,
is arb years. So yeah, I think he might be his second year in arb of three.
It is.
Yeah,
I think they gotta sign him.
Yeah, and it works next year because usually when you have 1 year of arb left, you tend to see the player on the team come to deal. To a deal.
He's got a 1 year $5 million contract this year.
What is it?
1 year, $5 million.
Okay.
That's a steal.
Yeah, of course. Especially because the guy after him, Tyon Walker, signed a fucking $80 million contract, or whatever it was, $75 million contract for 4 years. And, you know, that guy gets lit up.
Yeah.
It's just kind of the way the league works, whether you like it or not. Like, not you personally, but like anybody, it's just kind of the way the league works. Once you get through your rookie, you know, first 6, 7 years, that's when you can tend to start to see the money, but I mean, I'm not complaining, but I'd take $5 million.
Yeah, me too.
I'll go Ranger with wins. I like that. Oh, we could do ERA too. We could do who's gonna have the best ERA. I'm gonna go Ranger again.
I'm gonna go Ranger too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go Ranger.
We're big Ranger guys. I love Ranger.
I am a big Ranger Suarez guy.
I think Mike is too. Like we should fire it up sports the Ranger Suarez podcast.
Yeah. See if he'll come on.
Yeah.
We'll get his translator with us.
We'll ask him for another one that I really liked was Shohei Ohtani. This was yesterday. It was Shohei Ohtani coming on tomorrow to talk about his gambling, whatever. He's also going to give his Sweet 16 parlay.
Yeah. Yeah, get ready to take it in.
All right, yeah, so I'm going to Ranger too. Is that it for pitching? Like, are there any other?
No.
Okay.
Losses. So next. Who has losses and saves, if you want to.
I mean, we could talk about saves. I think it's interesting because I think Alvarado is going to get the most opportunity, but I wouldn't be surprised to eventually see Kirkring.
Yeah, I like Kirk.
Later in the year.
I also
get more opportunity, at least.
I also love this guy. I think I've talked about it before. Strom.
Yeah.
I think Strom, and they just re-signed him.
Yep.
So I think, like, if we could give him a chance to get into that.
I don't know that he's a save guy. Will he get the opportunity on a night in July? It's very possible. But I think they're expecting a bigger role out of him this year compared to last year. With last year, he was kind of the long man, kind of the fifth, sixth inning guy that, you know, would come in because Tyon Walker was through a million pitches in the fourth inning.
Yep.
So I don't think they're going to say, here's the ball for a save, but I do think they're going to say, all right, it's the seventh, eighth inning. We have two lefties, coming up, due up. You know, we're going to call you in. I think you'll see more of that more than, like, here's the game. Like,
okay.
Get the save.
You're up one. The 3-4-5 hitter are up, and you're going into the bottom of the ninth. Do you want Alvarado out there, or do you want Strom?
As of March 25th, Alvarado.
Okay. You just think he's better in high leverage situations?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't hate Alvarado. I just, when he's off, he's off, and you got to pull him quick.
Yeah.
Like, you need to have somebody warming up when he goes out there just to stay loose, because if he walks one and then throws a wild pitch the next one, you gotta pull him. He's right. Somebody that, like, he'll spin out of control quickly. As much as I love him, because he did have a good year last year,
he had a good year last two years.
Yeah,
but that's the thing too, is I think that he's had he's proven to me enough where he can get out of those sticky situations. And those things are going to happen. Like, any pitcher, it's a long season, 162. Like you're going to have games where they're going to blow games. Like, it's just inevitable, right? Like,
yeah.
As long as it doesn't happen consistently, then I'm fine with, like, not fine with it, but, like, it happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, as long as it's not, like a consistent thing, like, it is what it is. But what I do like about Strom is what you said, the same thing about Ranger. Like, it's just, like, kind of the composed, yep. The moment's not too big. So I do like that. I just don't know that he's, because listen, he transitioned from a starter to a long man to now a set middle inning
guy.
Yeah, middle inning to set up kind of guy. So, like,
yeah.
I just don't rush him there yet.
Yeah.
And I also think that halfway through the season, at the deadline, I really do think that they could look at back end. You know, whether that's the kid from Cleveland or another guy, I do think they'll look into that.
Classe?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Yeah, I do too. I think that we haven't had, like, a great closer since Papelbon's first year here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think his first year here was really good, and then after that, it had, like,
sure,
we haven't had a great closer.
Yeah, and I think that going back to Kirkring, like, I also think that they're gonna really see what they have him in high leverage situations at the end of games. He's very young. So, like, they're not going to rush him into that. But that's why I don't think they went out and like got more back end bullpen help yet, because they want to see what Kirkering is, they want to see what Strom is in these higher leverage situations, and they want to see if they have to add at the deadline, which they probably will.
Yep.
But like, what do we have to add? Is it a big name guy, or is it, you know,
a bunch of pieces?
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah. So let's kind of move on. I have a couple more topics here.
I also have something that I want to go through with you before we get out of here.
Okay. Yeah. So let's just try to, because it's getting a little late here. Let's just try to fire through these really quick. So this could be multiple answers, multiple guys, some multiple answers. Most likely to win Silver Slugger. So like
Stott at second base.
Okay. It's going to be hard for Harper because there's Goldschmidt. Yep. There's Freeman.
I think it's Stott and it's JT.
Okay.
Are my two that I think are going
to. You know what? I'm gonna take that back because I think Harper wins the MVP. I'm gonna go Harper too.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Okay.
He hits 40 this year. I know I said earlier 35, but I'll go. I think Will Smith's gonna rake this year.
He doesn't play a ton of games. He splits a lot of time.
I think he'll play enough though.
Okay.
Enough to win a Silver Slugger. Just being behind those guys and being able to see pitches. He's behind Betts, Freeman, and Ohtani. So like.
Yep.
He's gonna see pitches. He's gonna get opportunity. So I could see JT winning it. I agree. I think Stott wins a Silver Slugger. And I think Trey gets one too.
Turner, yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Stott and Turner. I'm not gonna give it to Bryce. I think Bryce could, but I think those two guys are gonna be your middle infield is gonna be your Silver Sluggers.
Okay.
Gold Gloves. I'm gonna go. You think Stott wins both?
No.
You don't think he wins Gold Glove and Silver Slugger?
No, I think JT wins Gold Glove, and that's it. They're just not a really good defensive team. And actually, I might even just say nobody wins a Gold Glove on the team. Maybe Ranger if he qualifies.
Okay.
As a pitcher. But I don't think anybody else on the team. I don't think they're built defensively.
And I don't think Rojas is going to play as much. That's also something I would love to.
Oh, true. True.
I don't think he plays enough. I don't think he's going to enough.
I wonder if his not hitting the ball is going to hinder him.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. I have three more here. So who do you think is going to be the best bench piece for the Phillies?
Whit Merrifield.
Okay.
Yep.
I agree.
And actually, on top of that, I want to just real quick, over under 82 games started for him.
I'm going to go under.
Okay.
I think you're looking at 50, 60.
Okay. Over under 90 games played.
Under.
Okay. I think that he's going to be I think that as much as we're killing the Phillies because they didn't make the moves, I really like the Whit Merrifield move. I think that he can give everybody on the team a break.
Okay. I agree. He could play I wouldn't love him in center field, but you could put him in the corners. You could play second. You could play third. You could play shortstop.
Yep.
So
you could probably play first if you wanted to, but you also have Bohm that could play first.
Right.
If you're putting Witt at third, you got Sosa that could play first. You got Sosa that could play third.
Yeah.
So are you going Witt too?
What's that?
Are you going Witt with yours?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Although I think Pache's an intriguing one too. I think he plays because he was hurt a lot last year. I think you'll see him quite a bit. And we'll get into that a little bit because I did want to try to throw that in there.
Yeah, of course.
Also, too, this is a very interesting thing that I did not think about. So obviously I said that I had Harper's overs, 30.5 home runs. Parlaying that with Trout, just like Shea says here, speaking of bets, the lines for Harper and Trout are 30.5 home runs, over-under. Parlay worthy on the overs.
It's worthy, definitely. The only thing that scares me is that Trout doesn't have Ohtani to bail him out, but he didn't before.
Right. He's got an MVP without him.
Yep.
That's the thing, too. It's like his health. Like as long as he's healthy, he's the best player in the world. Like one of, you know, top three plus players in the world.
Yep.
So I might look into that, actually. It's actually not a bad bet.
Yep.
All right. So then last, I have most underrated player on the Phillies.
Underrated.
I'm going to go Suarez.
I think this year, underrated as far as, like, what are we looking at? Like, that they actually have, like, a good year or a better year?
Somebody, somebody that, like, kind of like a Jason Wirth, where, like, Jason Wirth was the five hitter. He really benefited, but, like, he didn't get the credit, but, like, he probably should have gotten some, he should get some credit. I'm going to go two-piecer. I'm going to say Suarez for pitching, and I'm going to say Marsh for the hit, for hitting.
All right, so for pitching.
Or fielding, whatever, rather.
For pitching, I'm going to go. I think it's Ranger. If it's not Ranger, Junior Marte.
Okay.
In the bullpen.
I like Hoffman too.
Hoffman, yeah. And for hitting, I'm going to go Alec Boehm.
Okay. That brings me to my next one, most overrated. I actually think it's Boehm. Overrated.
Overrated as far as what? Like, are you saying
contract? I think people overvalue him. Yeah, no, it is. I think people overvalue him. No, I think he's improved a lot defensively, which is great. But I just think that, and listen, I'll take the 15 homers, 20 home, well, no, not even 20, like 18 homers, the 70 plus RBIs for my seven hitter or six hitter, whatever he is. I will take that, but like, I also kind of am in that old school set where like mindset, yep, where like I want to see him hit 20 to 25. I want, or 25 plus. I want to see him play great defensively, which he has. I want to see the 90 RBIs. I want to see him pull the ball. And like, we say this every year, and I like Boehm. I do. But I think if you get somebody to play his position to make your team better, I think I would do it.
For me, most overrated, JT Realmuto.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, and I still love him. Like like you just said with Boehm, you still love him. I just think that he still gets the best catcher in baseball phrase, and I don't think he's there anymore.
I agree.
My other option would be Nick Castellanos.
Okay.
I think that he hasn't lived up to the contract that he signed, and we allow him to escape out of situations because there's other pieces to talk about.
Okay.
Like, he in the playoff series, those last two games against Arizona were dreadful.
Right.
Like, he didn't have a hit. He didn't even, like, make contact with the ball, so.
Okay. Yeah, so I guess that kind of has it for my superlatives. Yeah, so I'm excited. Yeah,
I like that. All-Stars.
All-Stars, I'm going to say Bryce, Turner, Alvarado.
Okay. I'm going to go Bryce, Turner, and Stott.
Okay.
I think Stott, I mean, the only second baseman that's probably going to give him a run is what, Albies?
Marte.
Ketel Marte.
Yeah.
And who's the other second baseman that's really good?
Bogarts is going to be there now.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Okay.
So, not that Stott can't do it, but they definitely could. But yeah. So there are a couple other things I want to talk about too in regards to the Phillies. We're running out of time here a little
bit.
Yeah.
Can I shoot you?
Yeah. Yep. All right. Because it might be one of the things I want to talk about. So
Dom, what year would you say you remember baseball the best? Like, what year can you say, like, I truly remember the Phillies that season?
2008.
Okay, so before that, you watch, but you don't remember.
Oh. I would say
I'll start at 05 for you.
Yeah, maybe. I would probably say like 05, 06. Yeah.
Okay. Name me from 05 to 2024. Who opened the game?
Opening starter.
Yep.
You know what's funny? I actually saw something like this recently, and I don't remember. I know that Nola
had from 2018 to 2023.
Okay, I know. See, that's the thing, is like I know from like 20, I think from like 2010 on. So Roy Halladay,
2010, 2011, 2012.
Cliff Lee,
2014.
So Cole Hamels,
2013 and 2015.
Jeremy Hellickson,
2016, 2017. You're just before missing.
Before that,
you're missing 2005 to 2009.
Randy Wolf,
nope.
John Lieber,
He's 2005 and 2006. You're just missing 2007 to 2009.
Brett Myers.
Yep.
All three. Yeah,
that was it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew from 2010 on. But 2005 to 2009. I was a total guess.
Dude, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You crushed that.
Yeah. So a couple things really quick. Obviously, Rojas looking like he makes the team. To start up with the Phillies. It's not totally uncommon for players to come up halfway through the year before and then start in the minors. What are your thoughts on that? Because like I don't know. I see both sides of the argument. I don't know that with his struggles, and I get it, spring training usually doesn't necessarily mean it translates to the regular season, but I just think the way that he performed in the playoffs offensively, then blending into the spring training, I just think it would be better to start in AAA, just to play consistently, just to kind of get at bats, because I don't know how many at bats he gets up here every day, and I don't want him to struggle up here and ruin him, because we see so many times in so many sports that these young players get ruined, and I just don't want to ruin him.
What's the difference between him starting up here and
more at bats down in the lower in Triple A?
Is he though? Like who's he's going to?
Pache looks really good, man. Yeah, like Pache looks like he's competing for that spot, and he's been hitting in spring training. He's not as good defensively, but he's close. And the way they're going to platoon with Merrifield
and Marsh,
like, you know, that's why I'm saying if you give him a month in the minors to kind of figure this out a little bit, you could face less, you know. Worse pitching, I guess, if that's what you want to call it. And you kind of get hot down there, but at the same time, it's like he's your 9-hole hitter. Like, let him figure it out up here. You still have his defense, and like, you know, your star should be able to protect him. So like, I see both sides of it.
Yeah, I'm on the second side. Okay. Of that argument. Your star should be able to protect him.
So that was one point I wanted to talk about. Another thing was the bullpen. The bullpen, I don't know if you saw, was not ranked the last like 5 years, and now for the first time in years, the bullpen is ranked, and they're not just ranked; they're first. Ranked number one.
Yeah. I think that's going to be good for them. I think that
it's big expectations.
It's big expectations, but they performed before, so it's not. And like it's those guys like Hoffman, that you're going to see Marte,
Strom,
who's the Gregory Soto. I know he got lit up the other day, but
yeah,
I don't really care about spring training.
Yeah.
With that, so I'm excited for the bullpen. I think the last time where I was excited about it was the year we signed David Robertson the first time,
2017.
Nah, after that, then the second time we
got okay. 2019?
Yeah.
Something like that? Yeah.
Yeah.
2020, so, something like that. Maybe even later. It might have been 21.
I think it was 21.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm excited too. We kind of talked a lot about these guys. And I think they really are, and Kirkering, obviously. I think that they're all going to, I think Alvarado's, like I said earlier, is going to get the most opportunity to save games, close out games. But you will, I think you will see a committee.
Yeah, a closer by somebody.
There was one other thing I wanted to talk about with the Phillies, but I can't remember. I don't know. But yeah, no, I'm excited. Opening day on Thursday, obviously 3:00 against the Braves. Schrider comes back.
Rainy day.
Yeah. Do you think they play Thursday? I heard there's a chance they don't. They push it back to Friday.
80% rain that day.
Right. But it looks like at the time that they start, it's like 3:00, it's like a 40%, and then it goes to zero for like three hours, and then it comes in later. So I'm wondering if they just push it back an hour.
I hope they play. I would hate for that not to happen.
I'll miss some of it because I'm driving up to Cooperstown that night. So I'll be there Friday and then come home Saturday. But we're leaving Thursday night, so hopefully the rain kind of comes and goes or holds off.
Do you have YouTube TV?
I don't. I have Sling, but I also have the NBC Sports app.
So just put it on the car. Watch it.
Yeah. I'll listen to it on the radio, which isn't a big deal, you know. But baseball's back. So
baseball's back.
Well, the next show we'll have a full weekend to talk about. Obviously they play the Atlanta Braves, so yeah, so I'm excited.
I think it's gonna be I think there is a chance here if they play their cards correct where they have triple digit wins.
Okay.
I think there's a chance, and I think that if their clubhouse is bought into Thompson's messaging about like it's okay to make mistakes, just correct them as you're going and like don't be too hard on yourself sort of thing, like I think that they do have a shot to hit the 100 game mark.
I think that it's really, really hard because the Braves won 100 games in the last 2 years, right? So like, yep. It might have been the last 3 years, but I think it's really hard to win multiple 100 game seasons in a row, let alone like three or four. I don't know that the Phillies win the division, but I think it's closer than it was last year and the years prior. I'm going to go on a limb in the hot take. I don't think the Braves win 100 games this year, which is a crazy hot take. But I do think that they win the division by like two or three games, and it's like 98 wins, and the Phillies have like 95 or 96. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. It's really going to depend on the stars. It's going to depend on this pitching. It's going to depend on what they get at the deadline, whether it's pitching or hitting. But yeah, no, it's exciting. I can't wait.
Dude, we're getting ready for the season to start, and Jordan Montgomery still doesn't have a home.
I think it's what I think is fascinating about him is, I don't know that because look at it like this, right? Like most of the top end teams that are winning that are trying to win already have their rotation set up. Yep. Oh, that's the other thing I want to talk about really quick. The fifth spot with Tyon Walker going down. Obviously, Christopher Sanchez is at the fifth spot. Now he moves to the fourth spot. Turnbull kind of becomes your fifth guy. Mick Abel has looked great in spring training. He's just not ready yet, but he might be in a month. So, like, I'm very curious to see how that goes. If Turnbull doesn't work out and or Mick Abel, whatever his name is, Abel, Abel.
Yeah.
I'm very curious to see what he does this season if he comes up, if they go to the sixth man. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. But
I hope Walker's done for the season. I do.
Yeah.
Because if he's there, he has to play just because of the contract.
Yeah.
You have to play him. I would just wish he's not there.
His biggest problem last year was the one inning.
Yeah, if he can get, yeah.
He'd come out in the first inning and he'd look great. Yep. The second inning he'd come out, he'd give up four runs. And then the Phillies would come back.
Yep.
And then he would look great the rest of the game. Like,
yep.
So, but yeah, I think that's it. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here?
No.
All right. Well, just like Mike says every week, you know where to find us: Spotify, Apple Music, anywhere you get your podcast, YouTube now, Instagram. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, everything. And like I said, next week we'll have baseball to talk about. So we're going to get out of here. We'll see everybody next week.